How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing okay, Scott. Getting ready to come back home to North Dakota.
Well, great. You know, I guess Nancy Pelosi is finally done stalling negotiations where you might as well just come home and not wait to vote on something, right?
Oh no. The Democrats aren't having us in D.C. I was actually down in Texas meeting with some different people about challenges facing the oil and gas industry and what that looks like when we come out of the as the recovery starts to happen.
Railroad Commission,
which is their version of North Dakota Industrial Commission, met with some people from port authorities. Transportation's kind of the new fight. We know that because of lawsuits. And sometimes it's important to recognize that everybody up and down the supply chain has some of the same issues. So it was a good one-day meeting, and now it's time to go home.
What does the group there think about the fact that oil continues to inch up? Nice number today, 42 and some change for WTI. And I see that the weekly oil storage is also down another 4.5 million barrels. So that tends to put a little pressure, too. What do you make of this inch-by-inch price increase?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the, I mean, right, WTI is important, and how it keeps going up is obviously good for the industry, but, you know, given the different factors, it's just different everywhere, right? We still have a huge discount in North Dakota, and while less uncertainty, still some uncertainty on how we're going to transport our goods, but we like it when oil keeps raising. I've always been a big fan of oil falling in that, you know, that kind of pocket where it's good enough to produce the income we need for the state of North Dakota, but not so expensive that it really, truly hurts people who are trying to travel, I mean, for vacation, I mean, do all of those different things. So I think we needed to come up quite a bit more before it really turns back on in North Dakota, but I love the fact that it's moving up.
We're going to have a discussion tomorrow, just like a family discussion among North Dakotans in a town hall all about energy, inviting folks that support any and all energy, but most importantly, all of the above energy to join us in a conversation. You have graciously agreed to join us, even though you got a crazy schedule tomorrow, and we'll be on your way back from Camp Grafton, and we appreciate that. But I want to get your take just on, you know, obviously you come from an oil family and an oil background and have known it since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, but you also have been in the legislature and a part of conversations. I am of the belief that our audience, if you polled them, would say, I want it all. I want it all. I want all of the above. Brent Stanford was on yesterday. He said, we just need a bigger pie. Keep growing the pie. Talk about all of the above energy and how working together, different energy sectors in North Dakota, all working together is better for North Dakota and exporting energy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, coal, oil, natural gas. We have ethanol. We have biodiesel. We have wind. We don't have much solar yet. When we deal with those issues and we can actually do them, provided, I mean, I think the big issue and the big concern is ensuring that policy is energy neutral, which I don't think has been the case. And what I mean by that is allowing everybody to compete on an even playing field and allowing the markets to adapt and move. But I think the difference is for Republicans who talk about all of the above mean that, right? You want to lower carbon emissions. You want to do that. You want to have cheap competitive markets. That means let everybody play on an even playing field. I think Democrats, particularly environmental Democrats in D.C., when they say all of the above, they don't mean all of the above. They mean all of the above except coal, oil, natural gas, and nuclear. That's the difference. So when Republicans talk about all of the above, we believe that all of the above energy works, provided that policy is energy neutral and not favoring one versus the other.
Yeah, and obviously that has been, you know, the issue all along is to try and get to that point. Do you think we're making progress in that regard? I know the production tax credit, something that's existed since what, 92, and been targeted for a reduction. Several times and yet hasn't quite got there. And just recently, obviously, one of the reasons you voted against a very favorable budget bill is to say that's just not right. You don't do that. You don't, you know, 11th hour, throw that in here and extend this one more time. Now there's talk, I guess, of extending it even another year because they feel like they didn't get the year out of it, from the pandemic. But, you know, getting to that point is important to do what you're talking about, isn't it? And have that level playing field.
Yeah, but I would also argue every time we think we get somewhere, we see different things happen. you know, Democrats on the House Oversight Committee have called for a moratorium on all FERC permitting regarding natural gas pipelines during the COVID pandemic. The subcommittee's tried to schedule a hearing on the eminent domain issues associated with natural gas pipelines, not any other infrastructure project that FERC puts into place.
Did we lose you, Kelly? Kind of broke up there. Yeah, something happened with the line there. Let's see. Kathy has a question for Kelly, so I don't want to ask that. You just work on getting him back. I'll go to Bob in Valley City here. I think Bob's question may be for me or a comment. Go ahead, Bob. You're up on What's on Your Mind at 258-0550.
Yeah, my daughter works at the Cheyenne Care Center, and the other day she went to work and she had a little cough, you know. So they said, well, you have to go home and you got to have a test. And so she was out for 3 days. She got a test. She just had a test the week before, and that was negative. So this test came back negative, and she was out for 3 days. And they paid her, but they took 3 days of her vacation pay away. And they said that the only time that you're allowed COVID pay is if you come down with COVID. So if you do if you go with a sniffle to work, and they send you home for a COVID test, that's on your dime if you don't have COVID. So she lost 3 days pay, basically, and they said, well, that's our policy. But she told them that, you know, I'm dealing with a little bit of a cold. I've been to the doctor, and there's no problem. Well, it's our policy. But when they send you home, I would think that they would have to pay you for sending you home. Otherwise, why is she suffering for 3 days loss of pay
right.
for having a sniffle?
Yeah. Interesting. We'll see if anybody has anything to say about that that's listening. Appreciate the call, Bob. By the way, it's Wednesday, so I should also tell you we're waiting to get Kelly hooked back up that PetroServe USA has some great lunch specials today. So my job is to make you hungry right now for lasagna with garlic toast. Yeah. You can have that if you head to the West Main Avenue West Fargo location. If you're heading on I-94, either east or west, you're going to come to Exit 292, one of the nicest convenience stores in the state, Swedish meatballs or lasagna. In Valley City today, Chef's Choice in Harwood and the Breakfast Tater Tot Hot Dish at 12th Avenue Fargo. Don't forget the 4 for $4 deal. That's four items for $4. Pizza, two cookies, 20-ounce drink at all the PetroServe USA locations, which includes Valley Dairy Stores in Northern Valley as well of North Dakota, Minnesota. So there you go. Now you know from PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. All right, we're still waiting. We got Kelly back. Okay, good.
I don't know what happened there.
I don't either. Let's go to the phones. Kathy in Minot for Congressman Kelly Armstrong. Go ahead, Kathy.
Yes, on Major 3, just would you like to explain to the audience what Major 3, what the Democrats are asking for on Major 3 in North Dakota? And then secondly, I have a question, real quick one, and I guess it's for anybody. All right, if Biden wins, Harris is vice president, comes along March, Biden disappears. Who becomes the vice president of the United States then?
Were you talking about after the election?
Yeah, after the election. Just say if. And Biden disappears and we have Harrison steps up as the president. Who becomes the vice president of the United States then?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Who becomes vice president? What do they do there, Kelly? They vote on that? I'm trying to remember what happened with Nixon.
The president picks, and I'm not sure if the Senate approves or not. I think they do. That's an interesting question, which I feel like I should know the answer to, but I don't. Measure 3 is five unrelated things on the Constitution are on the ballot to change our Constitution. The changes are, I mean, really bad. I mean, there's the ranked choice voting, which is a very interesting way to do things, but it takes away one person's one vote. But more importantly, it gives what I call grievance candidates two votes in every election versus normal people. It has legislative redistricting, which in two ways. One will be redone by the elected the Ethics Commission instead of elected officials, which I think is terrible. But more importantly, it splits every legislative district into two different districts, which means House members will come from one side or the other and will be unbelievably problematic for local elected officials, particularly in rural districts that have more than one county that do that, and probably immediately disqualify close to 30% at least of the members of the North Dakota House of Representatives from being able to serve. and it extends the voting for overseas military from 46 to 60 days. This is the only one that they talk about because even though it's a minor change, and then the other portion is it allows for it requires paper ballots for elections, which we already require in North Dakota. It's sneaky. It's designed because they don't like who we elect in North Dakota, and they can't change it in a fair election, so they're trying to change how we elect people. It will fundamentally alter North Dakota's the way we do things in North Dakota, and it will happen immediately. And in my personal and humble opinion, I think it's the most dangerous thing that's ever been on the ballot in our state. That's the shortest I can do it in.
Well, that's that's a lot, and that's I don't know about you, but
I just want the public to hear this, because if they're not aware of how sneaky this is being, so.
Good point, Kathy. Thank you very much.
I think there is more of a grassroots effort this time to make sure North Dakotans are in charge of North Dakota elections instead of a group where 99% of their funding comes from outside special interest groups trying to change how we do things in North Dakota. So I'm cautiously optimistic we are going to do better at this than we have at some previous constitutional measures being funded by other people.
More with Congressman Armstrong after a break here. We're brought to you in part by our friends in Tioga. Great community. A lot going on for families and much more. Check them out at TiogaND.org. What's on your mind? Brought to you part by Oasis Petroleum, the good folks that love the spirit of North Dakotans, who fight like the Dickens day in and day out, turn into the storm and just do whatever it takes, pandemic or not. Let her rip. That's what they do at Oasis Petroleum. They are full of the buffalo spirit that turns to that storm and does what they need to do, and that's why they want to celebrate you. If you see somebody that embodies that Be the Buffalo Spirit of Oasis Petroleum, please give them a shout-out, 855-200-1776. 855-200-1776. What's that, Kelly?
One of the few producers, if not the only large producer, that was actually born in the Bakken. It was the Bakken Oil and Gas Company. They've expanded a little bit since then. I love the guys at Oasis.
Yeah, good story. They really are a great company. Good guys and hard at it. A texter tells me that we were just told that my 88-year-old mother is over COVID. She survived. In a nursing home. Tested positive July 29th, August 11th, and she's over it. How about that?
Well, that's great news. Yeah, that nursing home thing's really tough right now. I mean, there are people that haven't been able to see their loved ones in a very, very, very long time. It's we have to figure it out, and it's one of those areas where because of CMS and things, even though we have tremendous amounts of local control, federal regulations really come into play, and it's really unfortunate. I mean, we need to protect that population, but part of protecting that population is being able to, see your grandkids.
Yeah. Are we getting to a dangerous point where the cure is worse than the disease? I mean, we've warned of it many times. We've seen signs of it, but boy, oh boy, I'm hearing from a lot of folks that just believe that this is overblown. What's your take on it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love that text you just got, and that makes my heart feel really good, but it also is the definition of how, if we are targeting protection, that is without a doubt the most vulnerable population. And we've seen that not just in Fargo, not just in North Dakota, but across the whole country. So it's a really tough scenario. And I mean, I think we should, particularly people who have been isolated for an extended period of time, that is obviously terrible on your mental health. Also, we have a lot of patients in nursing homes that are truly on end of life. And I think if you would ask a lot of them, seeing and having to be able to have time with their family is as important as anything else. But you have an entire population within a very confined space that is also vulnerable. So in this specific thing, talk to a lot of people, a lot of really smart and caring people. It's a really hard place to navigate.
Texter says, ask Kelly how his dad's doing. I'm an old friend of Mike.
My dad is doing great. He's catching fish on the east side of Lake Sakakawea, and they have been having a very good summer. My parents are building a new house. My dad has pretty bad knees, and so they are going to have, instead of the three-story house that I grew up in, which is probably a little big for both of them, they're going to have a main floor bedroom, which will be easier on my dad's joints. But he's doing great. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. And, of course, your mom's a great story, too. What a miracle there as well. So glad to hear about your folks, for sure. Let's see who's next here. Ryan in Aberdeen. Go ahead, you're on What's on Your Mind.
Thank you, Scott. And good morning, Congressman. I wanted to talk about energy. I wanted to talk about the energy issue and Scott's support of and all of the above energy policy. I think I'm kind of betraying my own small L libertarian leanings here, but I think my thoughts on energy policy could be better described as hands off. Throughout human history, we've gone from burning wood to coal to petroleum, and now we're seeing gas, natural gas, take over coal somewhat. And throughout all of human history, there's been a natural decarbonization. There's been a natural push towards decarbonization. And I don't think that coal should necessarily be propped up.
All right. I'm going to give interject here because we're really short on time. We have lots of other folks who want to weigh in here. Kelly, how would you respond to his thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, hey, the problem is see, this is what happens, and we take a short version of history. And yes, it's true. I think natural gas and small-scale nuclear probably are the two energy sources of the 21st century. But remember, natural gas is competing with coal now. Coal spent 20 years getting regulated out of existence by being forced into spending exorbitant amounts of money on technology that was not proved up in order to compete not in a free and fair marketplace, but in a federal regulatory marketplace. You go look at the amount of lignite we have in North Dakota and how close it is to our coal-fired plants. And if they could compete on a hands-off approach, and that means a regulatory environment that was realistic and not draconian, they would still be competing with anybody right now, even with the low cost of natural gas.